This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. You may know my next guest as the co-writer and co-director of the original version of The Office, or the HBO series Extras, or An Idiot Abroad, or Life's Too Short. He has won an Emmy, 2 Golden Globes, 3 BAFTAs, 4 British Comedy Awards, and now he's starring in a new series he created for HBO called Hello, Ladies, about a very tall guy who's lonely but has trouble meeting women because he's always saying or doing the wrong thing. In other words, it's a biography of me in my early 20s.
Where are you guys from?
From here.
Can't do anything with that. What about yourself?
Seattle.
I love Seattle.
You spent time there?
Never been. I just met from films. Sleepless in Seattle. I think it's something with Denzel Washington?
I don't know. No.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because Seattle is actually the suicide capital of America. I don't know if you know that.
No, I think you're wrong.
But let's find out. Let's settle this once and for all. Suicide. Seattle.
We have to get going.
You're going to go? Well, give me your number and I'll text you the answer.
I don't have a phone.
You don't have a phone?
Stephen Merchant, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you for having me, and what a perfect summary of the show. Well, I'm pleased to hear that you relate to it in some way.
Completely. I'm not 6'7", but I am 6'4", and can completely relate to the awkwardness around the ladies.
Great. Well, that's perfect. That's what I'm hoping for, that there's as many losers like you and me out there.
Now, a week or so ago, I'm watching Jimmy Fallon, and you're on there as a guest, and so is Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And for some reason, somebody decides, let's have a lip-syncing contest. And all of a sudden, I'm watching you lip-syncing and dancing to Beyoncé's Single Ladies.
Right.
What's the backstory?
I was amazed at how, I mean, you know, you tirelessly work for months on a show like Hello, Ladies. And the thing that people tune into is me dancing around like an idiot on Jimmy Fallon. And my friend John Krasinski, who was in The Office, and I, he was going to be on the show one time, and for some reason we came up with this idea that he was going to have a lip-sync battle with Jimmy, because John and I were in the car just lip-syncing along to songs that came on the radio. And so Jimmy's like made this into a little feature on his show now, and so when I was going to be on there as a guest and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, they suggested to us, would we have it? And so, you know, Joe and I kind of prepared our songs, and, you know, we went on there and we rocked it, and it was nail-biting, and the next, like, within, like, 2 days, it had, like, 5 million views on YouTube or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy.
Is that good or bad that it had the 5 million views on YouTube?
I assume it's good in the sense that it means people were enjoying it. But, yeah, it's a little frustrating, as I say, that, you know, something that, you know, that's as silly and kind of frivolous and that you just do, like, on a whim, gets all those viewers. And, you know, you'd be hard-pushed to get 5 million viewers to watch your TV show that you've worked for years on. You know?
I enjoyed the first episode. I'm looking forward to the second episode Sunday night. There's a history in British comedy of the guy who thinks he knows what he's doing all the time, but he rarely does, and he doesn't realize that the world is laughing at him, including your character on Hello, Ladies, and, of course, the stuff you wrote for Ricky as David Brent on The Office. But, I mean, going back to John Cleese as Basil Fawlty and Steve Coogan as Alan Partridge, how much of an influence were those guys and their characters on what you're doing these days?
Oh, those two you just mentioned right there were always a big influence on me. In fact, when I grew up, my hero was John Cleese. You know, I loved the Monty Python stuff that he did, and as you say, Fawlty Towers. And he had grown up in my hometown, or he'd studied in my hometown of Bristol, and he was very tall. And so for some reason, like, he was a real kind of hero of mine. And he was always able to do, like, physical humor, but also kind of smart comedy. But like you say, he would always play characters that were kind of a little, they were always trying to be something they weren't. You know, in the case of Basil Fawlty, he was trying to hang out with, like, the lords and the ladies and climb in society, you know, and his own failings meant he never got there. And that guy was based on a character that John Cleese had met running a real hotel, and there was this kind of awful manager of a hotel that he'd met when he was shooting with Monty Python and made it into a show. And I think you're right, there's like this tradition of kind of British comic characters who are just that little bit, you know, self-deluded and are just working hard. And maybe it's like, it's a hangover from like the days of you know, when there was a lot of class in England, you know, where the middle class were trying to be the high class and the working class were trying to be the middle class. Everyone was always trying to be something they weren't, you know.
It's always about trying to impress somebody, even if you're not that impressive, right?
Right, exactly, and put on this kind of front. And I think a lot of us do that naturally, particularly in dating. You know, when you're first trying to date someone, you're trying to present the best version of yourself, to try and fool them into liking you. Because I always think that there's that advice they always give, when you're young, be yourself. But I think definitely don't be yourself when you're a teenager. Because you're like an acne-ridden kind of awkward person. You don't really know who you are. Don't be James Bond, but don't be yourself.
You said teenagers, but is there a certain age where you cross the line and you go, okay, well, now I'm a certain age and now I can be myself?
You know what I'm saying, teenagers, you're right. I'm still not being myself. I'm still trying to pretend to be. I want to be cool. I want to be George Clooney.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to be the guy who, and this is true, who was at a party thrown by the comedian Sarah Silverman 3 weeks ago, and I walked through a 8-foot plate glass window at the party. Just smashed right through it. Just walked through it and just stared back at the room. I mean, like an idiot. Like, if you put that in a show, people would be like, that would never happen. There it was, happening in real life.
And did Sarah send you a little bill?
This was my big fear. This was my big anxiety. But luckily, she was very sweet, and she hasn't charged me for it.
That's nice. In Hello, Ladies, you play a British web designer who's moved to L.A. and finds life a struggle there, particularly meeting women. How is it different being single in the U.S. compared to the U.K.?
I don't think it's as much a distinction between the U.S. and the U.K. I think it's a distinction between Los Angeles and everywhere else in the world. I feel like Los Angeles is unique. It's firstly, there's too many good-looking people here. So, I mean, all the best-looking people of the world kind of congregate trying to become movie stars.
Yep.
So you're competing with those people. But everyone's also there. Everyone's in their cars constantly driving. There's nowhere to sort of meet. You're just like in the car. I hired a convertible, obviously.
Uh-huh.
I'm a British guy in Los Angeles. And I had the roof down and I pulled up at the lights and there was an attractive woman in the car next to me. And I sort of glanced across, not really planning to like hit on her, but just thinking, maybe she'll catch my eye. And she looked at me, and I realized this is why I'm fundamentally not cool. It's like, even though I had the convertible, I was listening to a podcast about the English Civil War. It's not the sexiest way to cruise around L.A.
And because you're in a convertible, you had to have it turned up so you could hear it while you were driving.
I didn't hear it loud, so all she could hear is someone talking about Oliver Cromwell.
Here's what I love about this, Stephen. You still have that fantasy. I mean, you're a man of 37, 38 years old.
I'm ashamed to say I do. I'm sorry. I was sold this fantasy of what life could be when I was young. Like a lot of people.
You believe that you could go to L.A., rent a convertible, and pick up women at the traffic lights.
Well, I did this. You've made it sound like I literally arrived in L.A., went straight to Hertz, hired a convertible, and just started driving around trying to hit with. I at least checked into my hotel first.
I love the stuff that you did on Extras, where you played Ricky's agent, and you had all sorts of Hollywood people agree to be on the show, starting with the very first episode with Kate Winslet, who was
right.
So funny on that show.
Thank you.
You're doing a satire on show business, and you're getting people in show business to agree to come on and, frankly, be foolish themselves. How difficult is it sometimes to convince the beautiful people to play along?
Generally speaking, we normally spoke to people that we already knew were fans of our work. We didn't just randomly, contact people. So most of the people that were on the show we knew already kind of had an interest in maybe, at least in our work. And then we would normally, we'd speak to them and we would tell them we had this idea. And generally my experience was that these movie stars, they like the opportunity to sort of show they've got a good sense of humor and play up to their public image. Because, all these movie stars have images that we assume are them or the way the media has presented them or whatever. But normally, that's not who they are. That's the version they present to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's something kind of exciting for them about sort of laughing at that or playing with it or showing people another side of their personality. So generally speaking, no one ever told us once they agreed to do the show, I'm not going to say that or I won't do that. They just jumped in.
How many of those people did you cast in a convertible at a traffic light?
No one would believe they'd be that tragic.
So now here's the real question. Now that you're a TV star, How is that working with the ladies?
Well, I mean, I'm waiting to find out because I've been working so hard that I just haven't had time to, like, you know, take advantage of my newfound showbiz celebrity. I've got there's posters all over LA of the show, and I'm stuck in an editing room cutting the show. But I think I may have even mentioned it on Jimmy's show, on Jimmy Fallon, is, you know, there's a danger that you assume that because you've been on TV that things will be different for you. And the best example I can give of this is, you know, I was a couple of years back, and I'd been on TV in England, and I was, you know, fairly well known, and I was down in the center of London for New Year's, and it gets dense with people down there. There's people in every direction at New Year, and it's about 5 minutes to midnight, and I was looking around, and, you know, I'm like 6'7", so I'm like a foot and a half taller than most people.
Yeah.
And I can see what's going on, and I see this girl looking at me, and she walks over, and she comes up, and she looks up at me, and she says, "Hey, are you going to be here for a while?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "Great, because my friends and I have arranged to meet back at you." And they used me as a signpost, basically. And like three or four of her friends at like 5 minutes past midnight came and gathered around me.
Uh-huh.
They could see me from wherever they were stood. And this girl showed up, and they all went off to a party, and I went home. It was...
Because you were the second tallest thing in Trafalgar Square.
Trafalgar Square, right. I mean, I was insulted that they didn't choose the, you know, 200-foot statue, but there we are. So this is the thing, you can never get complacent, you know. You just assume, I've been on TV, it doesn't make a difference.
The show is called Hello Ladies. It airs Sunday nights on HBO, and when you talk about HBO, of course, it's also available on about 14 other platforms, and definitely worth your time. It is very funny, and I'm a fan, and I'm happy to have had a chance to talk to you. Good luck with the show, Stephen.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Stephen Merchant here with Paul Harris on America Weekend.